I'm going to be more comfortable with my coat off, which means you'll be more comfortable with my coat off. I wore my name tag so you'd remember who I was. I want to thank the church and the council for permitting us to be gone for the last 2 weeks. We've had a wonderful cruise. People have asked about that. You can talk to Ruth and me after the service. And we had a great time with our grandchildren. Love the kids. Our scripture reading this morning is a short passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. That's found on page 1028 in the Bible that you have provided for you in the pew. The story of Jesus at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me in to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary's story, challenges scholars, it challenges Bible study leaders, it challenges Sunday school teachers and coffee break leaders, and it has long challenged this preacher. As a people person, I confess that I prefer conversing with folks to serving them. My wife can affirm that, and my older sister, who helped raise me, can back that up as well. She's here with us this morning. So I'm naturally more a Mary than a Martha. I admire Mary for her interest in what Jesus was teaching. And though I appreciate Martha, and I can, in fact, sympathize with her. Can you? I mean, who of us hasn't whined, even to God? I also confess that I avoided preaching this text, though it has long been in the lectionary, until it was finally assigned to me while I was a chaplain at a chapel some years back. And finally, this short story taught me some important and, I find, liberating lessons. The text that I had avoided became a lesson that I embraced. In truth, Jesus' scolding is difficult to understand. I mean, the church needs Marthas, doesn't it? If you read the preceding passage, you find the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's as though Luke is putting this story here as an illustration, as Martha illustrating what the Good Samaritan parable was all about. And we American energizer bunnies understand Martha's frustration. Indeed, I have found in 37 years or so of ministry that the Marthas amongst us can spot the Marys in an instant. The Marthas are the Sunday school teachers. The Marthas are the coffee break leaders. They're the elders. They're the deacons. They're the Sunday school, the youth leaders. They're the people that serve on committees. They're the people that serve church dinners. They're the people who are in the nursery even this morning, the people who will set up the coffee after the service, the people who are running the sound system right now and who had a heart attack when the baby pulled my microphone off, I'm sure. Martha's come in both genders. They're all ages. They're every ethnicity. The adoring Marys are very touching, but in truth, the Marthas are invaluable. Amen?
Amen?
Thank you. The Marthas deserve, Martha here deserves a medal for hosting this dinner. I remember a long time ago when I first preached this, I discussed it a little bit with my wife, and she had an interesting insight. She said, I can't imagine suddenly having to host a dinner for what? A dozen, 15, maybe 20 guys who just show up with Jesus, even Jesus? Good grief. An uninspected band of brothers without warning and no head count. Nobody called ahead. And we iCalendar or whatever your electronic calendar is, driven Christians, wonder what Jesus' problem is. Martha's complained to Jesus about the lazy Marys amongst us. But Jesus' admonishment is the thing we want to look at. In the NIV, it's called One Thing is Needed. In other translations, it's Only One Thing is Necessary. We got to make sure, Jesus says, that the main thing remains the main thing. That's the lesson for raising children, too. Making sure they know the main thing remains the main thing. Serving the Lord Jesus is vitally important to his church and kingdom. But the main thing is learning from the Lord what to do and how to do it. The question is, what's the main thing that he's calling us to? Not to do. What is the main thing he is calling us to this morning? Because we are a people that I find in this day and age that are lorded by the urgent, the necessary, the so-called necessary things of daily life. We were gone for 2 weeks. We came back. The first 2 days home were absolute chaos. You've been there, right? You can't even, emails, snail mails, unpacking, laundry, this, that, and the other, phone calls to be answered. The necessary things can lord our daily life. Martha deserves a commendation, I said. She doesn't deserve Jesus' condemnation. She opens her home to him and to more than a dozen disciples because they're visitors to a village that didn't have any restaurants or rooms to let. She is showing the commendable hospitality that is mentioned in Hebrews 13. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it, or in this case, the Lord of life. So as I say, Martha's work deserves a commendation, not our criticism. But you see, the necessary work that needs to be done, Jesus is saying, has to come out of an unnecessary, not doesn't come with an unnecessary attitude. Short passage actually raises many questions about serving versus contemplating. Is hearing or meditating on the word more important than the service we provide to the kingdom? Speculate with me a little bit. Imagine that Martha said, instead of complaining to Jesus, oh, Mary's doing the better thing. Maybe I should just sit down and listen to Jesus with her. And then what was going to happen an hour later? There wasn't any McDonald's to go to, a Subway to call out to, a pizza to call in. You see? Or maybe Mary should have just hopped right up and helped Martha without having to be told or complained about. Or is Luke's story a call to balance the word and the deed in our lives? We don't need this story to appreciate the need for balance in life. Both Martha and Mary are worthy of emulating, worthy of praise. One commentator, Fred Craddock, says, if we asked Jesus that day which example to follow, either the active Good Samaritan or the contemplative Mary, Jesus' answer probably would be yes. Jesus didn't criticize Martha's service. He never said anything. He never complained about it. In fact, he practically compliments it. He says, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. He didn't say what is right. He just said what is better. And he never told her to sit down and join Mary at his feet. In fact, it would have been a problem if Martha never listened to her Lord, and wrong if Mary got up and served. Had Martha not whined, another one of those cases in Scripture that if Martha had not whined, she'd probably be thanked. And had she not asked for Jesus' help, would not know what was going on here. What he was saying to Mary had to be something more important than the weather outside. No, this seemingly ideal church member, Martha, is just not quite a perfected saint yet. Martha's not wrong to fix an elegant meal. She just wanted credit, especially from Christ. She's self-serving, not serving. And all the while, Sister Mary just sits there and quietly listens to our Lord. Jesus gently calls Martha to learn something today as well, that her obsession to prepare him an elaborate meal has gotten in the way. She first needed to be fed by the Lord she's trying to feed. We've all said, don't just stand there, do something, right? Jesus might say, don't just do something, Martha, sit here. The main thing is listening to Jesus, but where do we find the time? It requires ears to hear. Both Mary and Martha have ears, but only one of them is using them. Each believer has God-given ears to hear and heed the heart of Jesus. And I realized as I first contemplated this passage, and even as I reviewed it after 2 weeks of vacation, that I need Mary time as well, and I submit that you probably do as too, to sit at the feet of Jesus just listening to him. Read the scriptures, contemplate them, meditate them upon them. Remember we talked about spiritual disciplines a while ago? Praying, Mary time. We need Mary time to become saints so that we can hear his instructions to go and to do the works that Martha is doing and to learn how to do them with the purest of possible motives instead of selfish motives. It takes time to listen to Jesus so we can truly hear his message. He speaks clearly. Years ago when I was a chaplain to a Marine Air Squadron, the Marine Air has been in the news, sadly, of recent with a lot of crashes. One of our pilots, his call sign was Baron. He was a German immigrant. He still spoke with a very thick accent. I think he enjoyed that. And he complained one evening, we were doing a trans-Pacific transfer of the planes, and he complained one evening at dinner that he didn't understand the Japanese air traffic controllers. They spoke with such a thick accent. And we all laughed. A man I knew in Scotland once said to me, and after a conversation, which I kept on having to ask him to say more clearly what he was saying, although he was speaking supposedly perfect Scots English, he says, Norman, I'll always understand you. But you'll never understand me unless I want you to. Here's the good news. I joke about these things, but Jesus speaks without an accent. He speaks clearly. He wants us to understand him and hear him perfectly. But we have to make time and space, Mary time, Mary space, to get away from the din and listen to the Lord. And I wondered, what was so enthralling about what Jesus was talking about that Mary came and sat at his feet? What was going on? What was he saying? Wouldn't you love to know what he was speaking about? And while leaving Martha so hungry to hear that she actually becomes jealous. I think he might have been speaking about things like Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Look it up. Don't expect me to spoon feed you. Go spend some Mary time. Deuteronomy 6, write it down if you need to. Deuteronomy 6, ask Dan. He knows it by heart in Hebrew, I'm sure. It begins, "Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel." Or look up Ezekiel 3, the first three verses, where the prophet is told to eat this scroll and ask yourself what that means. Spend some Mary time. I think Jesus might have been talking about things like that. But we have deafening distractions. We have to listen carefully. And there are wonderful distractions out there. They're not just evil things tempting us to sin. There are a lot of good things. There are good shows on television. There are family and friends that get together. We have civic duties we need to be involved in, church duties. But Martha's not watching Turner Classic Movies or listening to an R.J. Sproul tape. She's preparing a banquet for the King of Kings. She's just so distracted by this very important work that she can't hear his message. It's like inviting a great preacher to speak here at the church and having a dinner afterwards and not coming in to hear him. I'll get the CD later. But you're spending all your time working out there preparing the meal. You missed the point. And now Martha interrupts Jesus. Can you imagine that? She interrupts Jesus. She whines, "The Lord! Jesus!" Boy, it sounds like my kids, your kids, right, when they're little. Tell him to stop picking on me. Tell him to help. And she injects pettiness into the whole affair. Maybe she's afraid. Maybe she fears to hear him. To hear from him what it's really important. And you know, Christ Church can create some deafening noise too. We build very busy congregations. We've got a new pastor coming. We hope he builds up this congregation and does all kinds of programs and things. And we think we're making saints and disciples. And maybe we're just making overly busy believers. Having said all that, let me say this is a warning not to fall into lounge chair Christianity. Jesus' words are inevitably must lead to good works. But our workaholism can deafen us to Jesus' words. When we learn the lessons that Jesus wants us to learn, the right things get done. Let me say that again. When we learn the lessons that Jesus wants us to learn, the right things will get done. And it begins with listening at the feet of Jesus. Indeed, it begins by coming to the foot of the cross. Isn't it interesting what happens at the feet of Jesus? We come to the foot of the cross where our sins are covered. Then we go to the feet of Jesus and learn. Yeah, hungry travelers need feeding, and Jesus deserves to be served. Indeed, he is renowned for liking a good meal. Back in Matthew 11, you find him called a glutton and a drunkard. He so enjoyed a good party. No doubt Jesus appreciated Martha's culinary talents as well. I don't know whether she went to school for that or not. The community of saints deserves and needs care and organization. But these things come from listening to our Lord's instructions. The fundamental premise of our Reformed theology, our Calvinism that so often besmirched in the media. A fundamental premise is this. You ready? You listening? This is it. That the Lord Jesus Christ defines us and not we ourselves. Profound, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, defines us, His creatures, His imago Dei, remember that? His image bearers. He defines us, not we ourselves. And in order for Him to define us and to keep on defining us and refining us, what do we have to do? We need to spend merry time listening to Jesus. And His definition is very simple, like we said this morning when we baptized little Cooper, that we're God's beloved children. And like our kids, we just need to hear that often. And then we need to learn how to love our brothers and sisters, and indeed those in our world out there which so desperately needs His love. If we don't, we'll listen to what's, if we don't listen to what's important, we'll listen to what's unimportant, and we'll settle for the trivial in life. Instead of making the main thing the main thing. I had a commanding officer years ago who always settled conflicts, conflicting advice within the command. We'd come to the table in the wardroom of the ship, and my department would want this, and his department would want that, and we'd be advising the commanding officer differently. And he would say, let's remember, guys, to keep the main thing the main thing. It sounds so silly. Well, what was the main thing? Well, the main thing was the mission of that command. So what's the main thing? What's the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ? To proclaim the gospel, to spread the word of the kingdom, to live the gospel, to live out the two great commandments, love God above all and love one another. That's the main thing. Martha had forgotten that, and I'm not sure Mary knows it yet. We have no indication what Jesus was saying to her. But other translations kind of give us a hint. King James says something like, she hung on every word that he was saying. She hung on every word. The logon, that's the word in Greek. That same word that starts in John 1:14. And the word, the logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. She's listening to the word of God speak. Don't you wonder what he was saying in that living room? Maybe he was reviewing the blessings and the woes of Luke chapter 6, his version of the Beatitudes. Maybe preparing the disciples for lessons on prayer that are coming up in Luke 11. My guess, he's answering questions about Luke 9, 22. You know what that is? You can look that up as well. Luke 9, 22. It has to do with why he has to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. But mere curiosity is not the point. Learning from Jesus is the main concern. We can't go to their house for Sunday dinner today, and we can't listen to Jesus there, but we can sit at his feet and hear the latest word that comes from his eternal word by the Holy Spirit. Once a month we come to this table. I wish we did it more frequently, and dine together on the word of God. We can do that every day, but it requires time and commitment to sit still long enough to hear that making the main thing is really simply this: cooperating with the Spirit in becoming the imago Dei. Say it, imago Dei, the image of God. I imagine you have lots of plans for this day of rest. We're going to go over to Judy and John's over on the lake in Pasco. But it's good that we took this time together, at least, listening to and listening for Jesus. Let's just not let the deafening noise of our world shut him out. Mary sat listening to the Lord, and so have we. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, Paul writes, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The meal, think about this, the meal that Mary ate, so to speak, at Jesus' feet lasts forever. Martha's probably not for the day. This is the meal that the Muskers and we have promised to feed Cooper. Jesus' primary message to us is the same as to Mary. God loves you eternally and infinitely, so he sent his Son. God loves you daily, so he sends his Spirit. God has made peace between you and him. He just wants you and me to enjoy it always. Will we listen to Jesus to be our main thing and make the main thing the main thing? I invite you to turn in the bulletin and take a look at the first question and answer our catechism. And in a moment, we're going to stand and say that together. But let's pray first. Father, thank you that you make the main thing in our lives. Keep it there and make us good Mary listeners and Martha servers. In your name, amen.